written on the board the title of the message today, so run. I'd like to look at a scripture in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the familiar text to most of us here this morning. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." I want to encourage us to run this morning the Christian life, the Christian journey. There are many people today that are not running. They're in the bleachers and they're watching those that are travailing, those that are striving. And perhaps many times they have the thought that I'm glad I'm not out there sweating and striving. It's more comfortable in the bleachers. But those folks that are in the bleachers this morning don't recognize what the race is for, what it's all about. They don't recognize and see the value. They don't see the importance of life. They don't see the importance of heaven, hell. They're in the bleachers. They're spectators. They're just watching. They're watching other people. They watch other people maybe stumble and trip and fall on their journey. But they're pretty comfortable in the bleacher being a spectator. And there are many that are doing that this morning. And I want to encourage us that if we're in the bleachers, that we would get out of the bleachers and get in the race and enter into the race that God wants us to enter into. Because we're not going to make heaven if we don't enter the race. We're not going to get to the end of the way and be able to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," by being a spectator in the bleachers. We've got to put ourselves into the race. We've got to get a testimony. We have to repent and be changed in our hearts and our lives. And there should be a place in us where we can look and say, I used to be this, but since God saved me and God has been working my heart and my life, those things don't have a part in me anymore and I'm now a new creature. It's necessary for us to have a testimony when we run. That's how we enter into the race. We seek the Lord and we, "Lord, I want to run." And I want to encourage us this morning, if we're being a spectator, that we would ourselves recognize the seriousness of running in the race. Sometimes people just have the idea, "Well, I'll just ask the Lord to forgive me before I exit this world and I'll be okay." Those people don't understand the depths of Satan. They don't understand the power of Satan. I want to encourage us this morning to enter into the race and to run. Now he brings out, he said here, "They which run a race run all." I want to say another thing. There are many people today running in a race, running in the race, but there's not going to be that many that obtain. Not everybody that's running in the race is going to be able to hear those words, well done, and enter in at the end. And it's not because we don't want everybody to be there and enter in. We would. We'd like for everybody. But there is a condition upon how we run. And Paul is saying that here. He said, so run. Not just to run, but so run in a way that you're able to obtain, that you're able to grasp, that you're able to be able to get a hold of what God wants for you in this life. It's very important of how we run this morning. He said, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. We're not trying to gain an earthly crown. We're not trying to make a worldly mark. We're not trying to just get the world to pat us on the back and say, you're pretty good. We're trying to seek an incorruptible crown. We're trying to enter into eternal life. We're trying to live and run in such a way that God would be pleased and honored with. Not something that we're just pleased with, but something that God is pleased with. You know, when you do a job for another person, the proper attitude to have is not to do the job to suit you, but to suit the person that you're working for. That's the one that writes the paycheck. That's the one that you're going to be able to, you're trying to help. And so we don't want to go through life just pleasing ourselves, but we want to please the one this morning that's called us into this race. And we want to have that mindset and that thought, Lord, I want to please you. I want to run in a way that honors and glorifies your name. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. The earthly crowns, the earthly awards, the earthly titles that people attain to will perish. Doesn't matter how high you get up on the ladder this morning. Doesn't matter if you get to be the President of the United States or who you are. When you stand before God, there's only going to be one thing that matters. And that's how you ran your race. How you run your race is what's going to matter. Presidents are going to stand there. All the kings of the earth, Revelation brings that out. Great men, they're going to all stand before the judgment seat of God, and the books are going to be open. And the question is, how'd you run your race? I want to encourage us to run this morning that we might obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. You know, temperance is very vital for us in our Christian lives. And it's kind of giving the illustration of those that train for the Olympic Games. They train their bodies. They discipline themselves. They bring their appetites, their calories are counted. The training is very intense. They've got a mind. They've got a purpose. They've got a goal. You don't win a gold medal just by walking in off the street and going up there and running the race. You don't obtain gold medals that way. You work. You develop. You gain strength. You train. You practice. He said they do it. They're trying to get a corruptible crown. A literal gold medal ain't going to mean anything in the day of judgment. But he said we do it because we're striving for an incorruptible crown. You know what we're running for this morning? Our soul is at stake. That's pretty high consequence. So many people today are running lightly. They run without due consideration. They're running in kind of a run, but they're really not weighing and considerately weighing the consequences of their decisions and their choices. Those that train for the Olympics, they have to lay aside many things. When other people are eating popcorn and pop and candy and Big Macs and all those things, they're dieting, they're eating salads, they're eating fish, they're eating things that will go to help them to win their goal. Folks, we're doing that for an uncorruptible crown this morning. The Lord wants us to be temperate in all the assets of our life. There are people that are workaholics. They work all the time and they don't really have much time to give the Lord. There's a place for work. But I'm going to say we can be overcharged with the things of this life and it chokes out what God wants to do with us. We can get too busy with temporal things and we disregard the spiritual. The spiritual doesn't have a high enough importance to us. That's not running well. We get our minds overcharged on what the future holds. How much money I'm going to make. What I want to do in life. We get our minds overcharged in those things and I'm not on a daily basis presenting myself to the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? We're not running well in that frame of mind. Folks, we've got to be intent. We've got to focus our mind, our thoughts, our hearts, our affections. We got to focus it on the race this morning. Brother Clifford Wilson one time, he said, the only way we're going to make heaven our home is if we want it worse than anything else in life. And I believe that to be true this morning. The only way we're going to make it is if we want it worse than anything else in life. That's the only way that you and I, it's going to take our all this morning. It's going to take our time. It's going to take some effort on our part. We don't get there just by kind of going with the crowd and going with the flow and going the way of the world. You're not going to make it. That's not running well. You've got to go against the tide. You got to go against popular opinion. You got to go against the pressures that we feel in society and the world. Oh, that's not necessary. You don't need to be that careful in your life. You don't need to be that strict. Those that train for the Olympics are strict people. They're very careful in the natural discipline of how they do their lives. And you and I, and that's what he said, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. We got to be temperate in what we allow our affections to go out to, what we do, where we spend our time, our money, and our energies. He said in verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I read a scripture a few weeks ago, but it talked about, it got me thinking along a certain line, but Jesus healed a woman, but it said that she had a spirit of infirmity. She was bent over. And I don't know, like 18 years, something like that. Not exactly on the time, but it was many years. She was all crippled over, stooped over. But it said there was a spirit of infirmity. And I began to recognize more that we've got to face life on a spiritual level. We can't face it on a natural level. We can't face it just with our natural minds and what we see with our natural eyes and what we come to in our natural decision processes. We've got to run this race on a spiritual level. Or we're not going to understand, or we're not going to be effectual. We're not going to be what God wants us to be. The children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt and God had brought them and delivered them, every battle was important. Every conflict that they faced, it was very vital for them to get the mind of God, to get the mind of the Lord. You remember when they went to Jericho and God told them what to do, march around the city 7 times? And then on the 7th day, you blow the trumpet and you march around the city 7 times that day and you blow the trumpet. You know, that looked kind of ridiculous. I mean, they'd march around the city quiet and head back to the camp. And the people of Jericho just watched. Looked kind of foolish. But God told them what to do, gave them directions. And when they followed God's directions, the walls came down. And I want us to get that and take home that with us today. When you and I follow the directions that God gives to us, things happen. Walls can come down. Places that are fortified that the enemy has that looks impregnable can come down when we follow God's directions. But when we're doing our own thing, and we're trying to fight it in our own strength, and we're trying to fight it in our own abilities, and how we think it ought to go, we're going to find ourselves failing and coming short. We're going to find ourselves, like he said here, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. We're going to find ourselves beating the air. Have you ever done that? Beat the air, so to speak. In other words, you fight and you labor and nothing's accomplished. Nothing's happening. Many times it's because we're failing to inquire of the Lord. And to humble ourselves before Him because we're serving, I'm confident this morning, the same God that dealt with Abraham and Isaac, that was faithful to them, the faithfulness of God through the generations of time, people, His people. And He is just as faithful in our generation. Now, in 2012, it still works. The words of the Lord are still true. The Bible is still yea and amen to them that believe. But we've got to follow God's directions. We take our own route, we'll fail, we'll come short. Lord, help us today. When they went to Ai, they said, well, this is just a small city. Just send a few men down. We won't trouble the whole camp. Oh, how easy it looked. How easy it looked. You know, sometimes it's just the small things that stump you and I up. Sometimes it's not maybe the big things. Sometimes it's just small things that can hang us up. Because we're trying to face the enemy in our own strength. And what happened? They went down that little place of Ai and they were defeated. Because they failed to inquire. And there was sin in the camp. When there's sin in the camp, God can't work like He wants to work. When there's places in our lives that we're hiding, that are sinful and wrong, and we're clinging on to those, and no one else knows about those, it keeps the camp from going forward and being victorious when there's sin in the camp. They had to bring the sin out. They had to confess it. It had to be brought before all the children of Israel. And it had to be dealt with. And the Lord wants us to deal with sin also. He doesn't want us to hide things. He doesn't want us to have secret places in our lives that, well, they don't know about this. What they don't know won't hurt them. It keeps us from having power with God. Things that we hold on to and reserve, and they're really not what the Spirit of God is wanting for our lives, it will cause a loss of power. The promises of God will seem like they're just not real anymore. I'm going to say the Word of God is still true. God is still the great I Am. He is still the Creator. He still answers prayer. He still gives peace. He still can overflow the heart with joy. He can still give you hope when it looks so dark outside. But we've got to submit ourselves to His way, His directions. Want to get another, but I want to challenge us with that. We've got to run in the Spirit this morning. We've got to face, if we don't face life with a spiritual level of seeking God and help us to understand what we're fighting against and what we're up against, we'll fight, we'll expend energy, but it won't accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. Lord, help us to wait on the Lord and to seek His direction, to seek His counsel. And when the Lord gives counsel, it works. When the Lord gives direction, it works out right. When His sanction, His approval is on it, it will be blessed. And the Lord will honor that. I want to get another scripture in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the first verse. Hebrews 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We've got to be willing to lay aside the weights. If you find that you're losing your zeal for God, if you find that you're not running with enthusiasm, if you're not running the race with courage and with hope and with expectation, sometimes it's because we're dragging along weights that are just sapping our spiritual energy. You know, it looked kind of ridiculous to see a race and we see a man step up to the line and he's got these 10-pound dumbbells in each hand. He's lining up with the rest of the guys and here he is with these dumbbells. He's going to run his race. That would look so ridiculous to us. That would look so out of place to us. But yet, how many times do we do that? How many times do we carry heavy weights that weigh us down and saps our energy, saps our spiritual strength? And here we are trying to run this race with all these weights. Can't do it. You're not going to win. You've got to be willing to lay aside the weights, lay aside the sin, lay aside the things that beset you, that deter you, that pull you back, that get your mind off of. You got to be willing to lay those things aside. Because I've got a race to run. I've got a race to run. There's another song, an old song that we sing. It says, I don't want anything here to hinder me. There's nothing worth holding on to today. You know, the things that sometimes are securities, are places of comfort that we so tenaciously hold on to, we're afraid to trust God. We like our comforts and our securities. But I want to say there's nothing that's hindering us in our spiritual journey and our run. If it's hindering, lay it aside. It's not worth. It's not worth causing you to lose the race. God wants people that are unhindered, unencumbered, that are running, that they got their mind and their heart in tune, their thoughts are focused. I'm in a race. Many times people began to look around at other people. And I got a thought about how, you know, Peter, when Jesus told him what was going to happen to him, he looked over at John and he says, "What about this man?" And Jesus responded, "What is that to thee? Follow thou me." Get your eyes off of people. Quit looking at people. They'll hinder you in your race. Oh, you'll say, "Look at them. They're not what they should be." And people sometimes look at that and use that for an excuse. Oh, they're just all hypocrites. Folks, we don't have to let what they do hinder us. Because they fail, I don't have to fail. God's grace is sufficient to take us through if we'll humble our hearts and seek Him. But we've got to get our eyes off of people. What did He say here? He said, looking unto Jesus. You know, we need some blinders on our eye. You know those things they put on those horses. Another thing, people get slowed down in the race. They get running. They start out. Looks like they're running good. And then pretty soon, they get looking at all the things that the enemy has presented on the sidelines. All the world has to offer. And they get looking at that as they're running. And it gets their attention. They begin to slow down. And they stop. And they stop running. One time they were running. One time they recognized the seriousness of the race. One time they were willing to lay aside. But now there's such an appeal, such a power, such an allurement. In Galatians, Paul told them, he said, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? You ran well for a while, but somebody hindered you. They slowed you down. They stopped you." Lord, help us this morning. Don't slow down. Keep running. I want to encourage us to run this morning. Believe this is the burden that the Lord gave us. Run. Run for your life. Sometimes we don't understand and comprehend the spiritual dangers that are around us. And when you see people getting too complacent with temptation and getting too close to temptation, you have to recognize they lost their sense of urgency. Lord, help us today. If you see me slowing down, encourage me on. I don't want to slow down. I want to keep the pace with the Lord. Because it's very vital that I run the race in a way that, not just run, but I run in a way that I'm able to obtain, where my affections and my desires are on heaven first, and everything else is second place to that. If I don't put the Lord first in my life, so easy for us to do. So easy for us to run good for a while, and we're running good, and Lord's blessing. But pretty soon we began to let God have second place. And something else is in front of us in first place. Folks, God doesn't take second place. We can't run the race and win. I'm going to say in this race, everybody can be a winner. Every person can be a winner if they'll run to obtain. If they'll so run, everybody can be a winner. But we can't run and just kind of pull God behind us somewhere. And we're really not seeking the will of God first in our lives. Very easy for us as humans to allow our affections to go out to other things. And when we do, we're not running in a way to obtain. And we will not obtain. Lord, help us to put you first in our lives. And may it not just be a lip service. Help us show the Lord. Help us to prove to the Lord by the way we live our lives, where we spend our time, where we go, where we don't go, that I'm serious about serving God. But it's not just a plaything with me. I want people to look at my life. I want them to recognize that he means business. He's in the race. He's running. He means business. Lord, help us today to run, so run. We've got one time getting through this race. One time. We can't go back and redo it. Another place Paul said, those things which are behind, I put those things which are behind, I put them in the past, and I press toward the mark that's set before me. Don't let Satan bring your old sins up and try to pin them on you. No, you left them behind. Don't go dig them up. Don't take them back on you. The scripture talks about a dog returning to its own vomit. That's a Christian going back to the beggarly elements of this life that he was delivered from. He said, if I build the things I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. We don't want to go back to the old. We don't want to go back to what we were delivered from. I don't know about you, but I would be in pretty wretched state today had I continued on the path and running the way that I was running my life, if God hadn't knocked on my heart's door when he did. My life today would be a deplorable, wretched, ungodly state. But the Lord was faithful to my soul. And I know if you're a child of God too, and you have tasted, and the Lord has brought deliverance in your life, I know you can testify of the same thing. Help us, Lord, to run. You know, in this race, sometimes we can look on ourselves as good moral people. But I want to say any good morals or any good traits we may think we have will not outweigh sin when we get to the end. God's not going to look at our life and say, well, you've done so many good things here, and I'll overlook this sinful part of your life that you hid and that you harbored. And say, come on in. Most of your life is good. Most of what you've done is good. You just got a few sins here that you held on to and you didn't relinquish. Come on in. God is not going to do that because he paid a high price for us to be delivered from sin. Folks, the plan is perfect this morning. People have been delivered off of drugs. People have been delivered off of alcohol. People have been delivered off of cigarettes. People have been delivered off of any pornography. People have been delivered from lust. You name it. He said here in this first verse, said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There have been people that have been delivered from those things that bound them, and they could not get victory over in their own hearts, in their own lives. So there's deliverance for you and I. And there's no, we're not going to have any excuse. When the Lord looks at us and we stand there, that's why he said, lay aside every weight. Lay aside every sin that hinders you, that keeps you from being what God wants you to be. Lay it aside. Folks, it's not worth holding on to. Because we've got one time through. And when I get down to the end of the way, and it's my, and the scripture in Ecclesiastes say that we don't have power over the spirit to retain it in the day of death. When my time comes, and it says there's no discharge in that war. When my time comes to go, I'm not going to be able to say, Lord, I guess I can say it, but the Lord wants us. That's why he wants us to run. I can't go back and redo the years of time. I can't go back and unwind and live life over. When I face eternity, I'm heading out. So run. So run this one life. And it's so quick, isn't it? Doesn't life go by so quick? You older ones that are here, it goes by so quick. Are you running this morning with a testimony? Are you running in a place that you're able to obtain? Are you running this morning with a purpose of mind and spirit? That I'm not going to make excuses for myself. I'm going to follow God, whatever the cost, whatever the price. And there's a cost. There is a price. There are things to lay aside. But you know what? When you do, oh, you can run. Oh, you're able to run so much better when you put that stuff aside, lay those weights. Oh, you're able to run. We used to, working out, we had what they call those ankle weights. We'd run with ankle weights, develop muscle. Had a pull, and then boy, you put those weights off, and man, you feel like you could just fly. There wasn't hardly no stopping you. That's the way it is in the Christian life this morning. When you lay aside those weights that you're holding on to and dragging, and afraid to let go of, it's a good run, man. Help us this morning. My heart's desire for every one of us here is that we would run a good race. There are people that I'm concerned about. Seems like they don't have a testimony. Seems like you don't hear them talk much about what God's teaching them or showing them and why. And I have to recognize they're failing to run a good race. Because God is still real. He still speaks to us. He still teaches us. He still works with us. And when I look at people's desire, where their hearts are at, where their affections are at, I see many people that are slowing down in their race. Lord, help us today to run. That we can run that we might obtain. That we can run in such a way that God is glorified and God's pleased with our life. And that's through His Spirit. Let's run this morning, not as one that beats the air. He said, I'm not running as one that beats the air, but I keep my body under subjection. You know, our speech, our words, that's another thing we need to be temperate with. We don't just say anything and everything that comes to our mind. Lord, help us to watch. Psalmist said, I set a watch on my words. Because we're in a race. We don't want to hinder other people. We want to be careful not to injure or bring a mark or blemish on the name of Christ or the cause of Christ. Temperate with our words. Temperate in every area of our life, our habits of life. Temperate. Because I'm running a race. I want to see the end with victory. If we get out of temperate, we'll fail. We'll fail to win the prize. Pray for this morning. And I want to encourage us too, if you fall along the way, get back up. If you stumble, don't throw it all over and say, I can't do it, or it's not worth it. There have been many people today that have stumbled and fell in the race, been trying. But they stumbled and they failed. It hurts. But I want to encourage you to do, and I'm here. Help you back up. Let's help each other back up. We got to keep running. We've got an important race that we're running in this morning. Get back up. Keep running. Get your eyes on the Lord. Get it off the people. Get it off everybody else. And just focus, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord will reveal himself. If we're sincere with it, if we're honest, if we really want to run, and we begin to really seek God and earnestly implore and entreat, Lord, I can't run. He said it's not by might nor by power. Talked about the youths and the young men. They'll faint. They'll fall short. Life is too big. Do you believe in that this morning? Do you feel like life is too big? It is for me. Life is too big. Satan's too powerful. For me to just do it in myself. I'll never make it. Bob, he exhausts after a quarter mile. He's out, or not even a quarter mile. It said even the young men, the youths, would faint. It said that they that wait upon the Lord would renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So this morning, if you stumble and you fall, just get back up. Get back up and keep running. Pray for me. I want to be faithful. You see me fall, help me up. If you see me start slowing down, be right behind me. Say, no. You're not slowing down, Brother Bob. Keep in the race. Amen. Pray for me.